I can tell you with 100% certainty that Annie is not okay. I saw Annie this weekend. She's not okay. And I'm referring to the new movie, Annie. You know, the remake of the classic, amazing film that we all watched growing up. I swore that I was not going to see this movie. I bowed up and down. I am not going to see this. That is a disgrace. You know, making Annie modern would never work. But I have a 5-year-old daughter whose glass is half full, as I describe her. You know, it doesn't start to leak until you're like a teenager. You know, then you get in your early 20s and it's half empty. And then you get older and everything's great and wonderful again, and you wish you would have appreciated things when you were younger. You know, it's just a cycle. So she really wanted to see this movie. So we loaded up the family, went to the movies, spent $48 or something ridiculous like that. And this movie was painful to watch. I wanted to like it. I swear to you. I wanted to enjoy this movie because it was a moment with, you know, my daughter and I were watching Annie. This is something I envisioned as a child, that I would take my daughter to the movies to see Annie. I mean, I thought it would be Annie, Little Redhead Annie, and, you know, all the other characters. But this movie was just a train wreck. And the thing is, there's a lot of people like, oh, well, people don't like the movie because it's an African-American Annie. Okay, that has nothing to do with it. That little girl was the best part of the movie. The worst part of the movie was Cameron Diaz. Now, I normally love Cameron Diaz, and actually I've been told that from time to time I look like Cameron Diaz. But she just was not good in this movie. It was like so over-the-top acting, like pretending to be drunk just to the extreme, like stumbling, and she's just no Carol Burnett. She could never do over what Carol Burnett did. It's kind of like when they remade Footloose. I've said this before. You can't remake Footloose. You've got Kevin Bacon, and every scene with Kevin Bacon is just iconic. You cannot redo the scene where Kevin Bacon is like angry smoking and angry dancing. You know that song, never, 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 never try. You know that song? So that's playing in the background. He's angry, he's dancing, and he's got that white tank top on. And then, you know, they cut to the stunt double doing flips. And you can't do that over. So just leave it alone. And now they're making Goonies over. Ugh, I don't even want to talk about it. But Annie, had they stuck to the script, I mean, they didn't even have Rooster. They had no Rooster, the girl, Rooster's girlfriend, and there was a social worker that kind of had, not a prominent role, but enough where you kind of remembered her, and she was dancing at one point, singing and dancing. The social worker was singing and dancing. You following along with me? I don't know if you've ever been to a Social Security office, but it's not a lot of dancing going on. Okay. The clientele at the Social Security office makes the people at Walmart look like high rollers. They look rich. They look like first class passengers all the way. So the clerks are a little irritated because they're not always dealing with the smartest bunch. You know, I mean, some people go to the Social Security office and are smart and whatnot, but there's a good chunk that are not. So you're never going to see the Social Security worker singing and dancing and coming to your house. And I know that seems like a ridiculous thing to bother me, but it bothered me. And also the house was really high tech. So everything was like, touch the elevator with your hand and it recognizes you. And they ended up finding Annie using Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I don't know. I reached the point where I was like laughing out loud because it was so ridiculous. And I'm pretty sure it annoyed the crap out of the people who were behind me. Not that I care, because the people behind me were chomping on popcorn like they have not eaten in months. I know popcorn is not a quiet food, but it's quieter if you eat with your mouth closed. It's really simple. It's something you learn as a kid. You chew with your mouth closed. The last thing of Annie that really kind of did it for me was when Annie said, slow your roll. And then in dramatic fashion, Daddy Warbucks, who really, his name wasn't Daddy Warbucks, his name was Will Stacks. He was Will Stacks. He sells cell phones. He owns a cell phone company instead of Daddy Warbucks, this guy, Will Stacks. And so in the dramatic moment when Annie's leaving with her, she thinks are her parents, and Will Stacks says to her, "Don't you ever slow your roll." What the hell does that even mean? What does that even mean? Annie does not say slow your roll. She doesn't. You cannot do that. And I heard a guy on the radio today talking about it was a fun movie. And I think part of that is maybe if I had never seen the original Annie, this Annie would not have bothered me so much. But it did. It took away everything that I'd hoped for. I was hoping to, you know, take a trip down memory lane. And it was just, it was not that at all. I actually filled in for a radio host, a local radio host for a few days. That was fun, except for the people. People are mean. People get on Twitter and they start saying mean things when they're not finding Annie, you know, criticizing everything you say. It's, you gotta have thick skin to do radio. And I never really realized how awful people can be. I know when I worked in television, people would message if you changed your hair and say horrible things to you. But radio is the same kind of thing. But it was fun. I had a good time. It was funny because I had one person say to me that they were shocked that they didn't think I could do that. I was like, I know a little old me, a little old woman allowed to use the microphone. I can't believe she could actually talk and have a brain at the same time. So it's just absolutely ridiculous. I have to tell you a funny story that happened to me today. I've become the woman who returns things no matter what, like cookies. I returned a package of cookies today. I don't know when this happened. I don't know when I turned into the old lady pinching pennies. But it's funny. When I was younger, I remember going to a supermarket, a local supermarket we have here. And there was a woman there and she was returning a watermelon. This is a true story. And she was a wealthier woman in town and she was returning a watermelon. And I thought, oh my, how pathetic. Why is she returning a watermelon? Just throw it away if it's no good. But now that I am older and I have children and I'm making money and you know, there's so many things to pay for, that spending $7 on this box of cookies, it was, my daughter had to have them. We were at one of those wholesale stores and there's, you know, 95 cookies in it. So I thought, oh, you know, it's a good deal, you know, give my kids color number 4 or whatever it is for a week. I actually have a friend of mine who I love dearly, but we have a very different opinion when it comes to food and feeding. And we went out to eat this past weekend and she made a comment about how well behaved my children are. And then she made a joke, you know, considering they eat red number 5 or whatever. And it was like, and I said to her, are you expecting them to like hang from the chandeliers because they eat packaged food and whatnot? But anyway, so I bought these cookies and we got them home and they taste like Windex. I'm not kidding. Like, they were awful. It wasn't like, oh, you took a bite and you were like, oh, this cookie's really not that good. No, it was take a bite and like, bleh, like everyone was like spitting it out. So, and it's funny because I made everyone taste one cookie after I realized it tasted bad. You know how we do that? Like, I tasted it and it tasted horrible. So I was like, taste this. Does this taste horrible? And that person was like, yeah, that does taste horrible. Here, you taste this. And we all do it like idiots. We all keep tasting it. But we tasted it and it was just awful. And I was like, that's $7. I mean, when I, especially for like a high schooler, that's like his lunch for 2 days. So I took him back to the store and I thought, you know what? I'm sure people do this all the time. It's not going to be a big issue. So I go to the store, I've got the cookies, I've got my receipt. And if you've ever been to one of these wholesale clubs, they have the like lady that guards the front to make sure you're not stealing. Now, I don't know when someone managed to run out of the store sticking a 24-pack of peanut butter under their shirt, but they have decided that they need someone at the front door guarding to make sure that no one is stealing the 6-pack of jar of pickles, or the 5-gallon jug of mayonnaise. Someone managed to sneak that out. So now they're really being careful at the front door. So they have that lady, she like checks your receipt. If you've ever been, like, you could buy like 20 things and you have to walk out and you hand her your receipt and she like glances at it. Now she, I want to call, you know, BS You have no idea what that receipt just said and what is in my cart. You do not have the super scanning power where in 1 second you can look at the receipt and then scan the card and you know exactly what I have. So it's all just nonsense anyway. But anyway, so I walk in and she immediately sees me. She sees me and it's like, do you have a return? And I was like, yeah, I do have a return actually. So I start to walk and she gets her walkie-talkie and she's like, we got a lady coming to return cookies. Looks like Christmas cookies. She's coming to the customer service desk. I'm not even kidding you. She radioed to and it went to more than one person because as I was walking down the long, which seemed like forever, aisle to get to customer service, I could hear echoing her saying, oh, she's got a box of blue cookies she's returning. Was it necessary to call in backup? Was it necessary to act like I was going on some covert mission and you had to radio ahead to let them know I was coming to return the cookies? So I was very defensive by the time I got to the customer service desk. I was like, yeah, these taste like Windex and, you know, felt like I really had to overdo, like, and they almost made my kids sick. And so, like, I need to return them. And the girl really didn't care, but it was the other girl who was,
she's walking right now. You better watch her. She's got the cookies.
Like, who does it? This only happens to me. Does this girl radio for everybody? I remember getting stopped once coming out of a Home Depot because it was raining. And I love Home Depot, don't get me wrong. But it was raining. And so instead of using the one exit, I decided to walk inside back the long way to the exit to my car. And as I was leaving, the girl's like, whoa, can I help you? And I just paid for my items. I'm leaving. She's like, well, people don't normally go out this door. It's like, you know what? I stuck four hammers in my pocket. I've got a screwdriver hidden in my hair. You busted me. I'm caught. It's all over. So it's just so ridiculous. But these things I feel like they only happen to me. I say it time and time again, like I am living an episode of Laverne and Shirley, like over and over and over again. I have an update for you. I did get Botox and I used my Groupon. And it just goes to show you that a coupon is not necessarily always a good thing for something. Because when I first got it, I came home and it froze like a few of the wrinkles, but like the outside of my eyebrows still moved. So I looked like an evil cartoon character. So if you can imagine it, it's like, so the rest of my face is not moving, but just the outside tip of my eyebrows would go up. And I went out to lunch with a friend of mine. I just kept doing it. We were laughing hysterically. I looked ridiculous. So I ended up having to go back and they fixed it for free. But I did kind of learn a lesson about using a coupon for something that they're injecting needles into your forehead. One other thing that I just wanted to talk about before I wrapped up this podcast was today is January 5th. And for me, it's a difficult day. It was about, I believe it was 13 years ago now, that I donated bone marrow to a little boy named Shay. And I tell you this not to be like, oh, I'm awesome and I did this, but I tell this story hoping that people will register to be bone marrow donors and give someone a chance at life. Shay's story didn't have the happy ending that I thought it would. And it was really sad for me because I registered to be a bone marrow donor when I was working as a nanny in New Jersey. Now that's a whole nother podcast, but I was working as a nanny in New Jersey and I was out for a walk and they were filming the TV show Ed. Do you remember that show? I don't even remember that guy's name, but they were filming the TV show Ed in the park that I usually walked in. So I had to go this long way around and I walked by, they're holding a registry in honor of somebody. I don't even remember the name, which is horrible. But I walked by and then I got in my car and I was almost home and something just said, turn around, go back and sign up. And I did. And I know that sounds really like, oh, that's so cheesy, but that really is how it went down. And then a few years later, I got the call that I was a match. And I actually felt like when they called me, I was like, almost like, wow, what an honor. I can't believe I could actually save someone. And I had no idea who was getting it, their age or whatnot. But as time passed, I managed to get information out of one of the Red Cross workers, because I was working as a reporter, and I was just very persuasive. And she finally told me that the little boy who received the bone marrow, he lived for a little bit longer, and then he passed away. And it was devastating for me. It is still difficult for me to talk about. It was devastating because I thought that I was going to save him. And I thought that, well, that was my purpose. I was meant to help him. I was meant to save him. But in the end, this little boy is the one who ended up kind of saving me and making me see things so much differently. But January 5th is always a hard day for me, because that's the day that I donated. And you have a little bit of that guilt of you gave him something that his body rejected and he passed away. I actually named my daughter, her middle name is Shay, after that little boy. But my mom was cleaning out a room and she found a medal that Governor Pataki of New York, and that's going way back, had sent. And it's like a medal of honor for service, of the gift of life, whatever. And to this day, I can't bring it home. I can't have it in my house. I don't feel like I deserved it. And this turned into a really depressing story. And I'm trying to encourage people to register. But that's my own personal guilt and, you know, issues that I need to work through. But the thing that's hard is the family is still so appreciative. They text me every year and say thank you to me for giving them hope and giving them time with him. And as hard as it is sometimes, I think, to tell people how much you appreciate them, it's also hard to take that appreciation, take the compliment from somebody, or and allow yourself to feel good about yourself. And it's funny, someone posted in honor of the ESPN anchor who passed away, someone posted something on Facebook about appreciating it forward. And I'm not normally one to repost those kind of things where it's like, you know, share this if you like your mother. Share this if you don't like your mother. Those are the people I want to stay away from. Share this if you hate your dog. You know, those are the people that I want to steer clear of. But I reposted that, trying to appreciate it forward. And then today I got the message from this little boy's mother that said, you know, thank you for giving. And I couldn't write back. So I hope one day that I can kind of come to grips and realize that it was kind of out of my hands anyway. But I still hope that people will register to be bone marrow donors, because there are people out there whose lives you actually could save and make a difference. Or even if nothing else, give hope to. So I managed to get through that without crying. I actually almost cried on the radio the other day talking about a friend of mine. And it's so embarrassing. And I just brought women back 100 years. Let's leave it on a more of a ridiculous note, and send our love and prayers to Teresa Giudice, the Real Housewives of New Jersey, who reported to the Big House today. She is going behind bars for something like 15 months. And honey, what I wouldn't give to be a fly on the wall. Anyway, that is it for this podcast. I appreciate you listening. Share my blog with your friends, you know, help my ego a little bit. And we will chat soon. I practiced this for hours, gone round and round, and now I think that I've got it all down. And as I say it louder, love how it sounds, 'cause I'm not taking the easy way out. Not wrapping this in ribbons, shouldn't have to give a reason why. It's no surprise I
It's no surprise I won't be tomorrow.